And so if you can turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of Mark, if you've got an orange Bible, it's on page 1003. And we're going to read the first 12 verses of chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Thanks, Jeff. Please keep that passage open. Let's pray for God's Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds. We've never seen anything like this. We praise you for the accounts we've got in Scripture of Jesus' life, the things he said and did, and the responses people made to him. May our response not just be to be amazed, but to respond in hopeful and joyful repentance and faith. Grant us life and encouragement to live the life you please. Amen. Have you ever said or done something stupid to a friend or someone you love and wished more than anything else you could take it back? Undo what you'd done. What you did shattered the relationship. But knowing you can't undo it, the next best thing to hope for is that your friend forgives you. Forgiveness is what puts broken relationships back together. And forgiveness is never cheap. I once damaged a friend's car. He'd lent it to me for a day, reversing out of a tight space. I was a new driver. You know what happens to the front when you reverse, it swings out. I scraped a wall and there was a big scratch down the left front wing. It could have shattered our relationship. But wonderfully, he forgave me immediately and said, "Look, I'll live with the scratch. I'm not going to get it fixed. You don't have to get it fixed. I'll live with it." In other words, he was bearing the cost of seeing that scratch every day of something I'd done. And I was forgiven. Forgiveness often means bearing the cost of what someone else has done to you. And it is very, very precious. It can't be bought. It has to be given freely. Just paying to get that scratch fixed, even though I couldn't at the time, I was skint, might have hidden the scratch. But without my friend forgiving me, that relationship would have remained broken. The event that happened in the account we've just read centers on forgiveness. Only this is on a much, much greater scale. The man in the spotlight, just like everyone else who has ever lived, was a sinner. That is, that before a holy God who made them and the world they live in, and had given them everything, life and breath and family and friends, they'd lived as though God didn't exist. As though he had given them nothing. All of us, from the first man and the first woman, have taken God's good gifts and his kind instruction and blown him off. Sin, it isn't the lying, the stealing, the acting selfishly towards others, the ambition that would do others down to lift ourselves up, the cutting the corners. We'll all admit we are guilty to some degree of those things. No, sin is more than the symptoms. It's what's going on under the surface that causes all that. It is our broken relationship with our Creator. Whether simply by ignoring God or by consciously turning our backs on him, we're all sinners in impaired or broken relationship with God. And there is nothing we can do to put that relationship right. What we need more than anything else, our greatest need, you could say, is forgiveness from God. Somehow for him to absorb the cost of what we've done to him and grant us a fresh start. Forgiveness from God is humankind's greatest need, individually and corporately. And I wonder if you've grasped that fully, the seriousness of sin and its all-encompassing nature. The good news is that forgiveness for sin has been made possible and is held out to everyone. We get a glimpse of the one who offers it in our story. So, take yourselves back there. Imagine yourself in a hot, cramped Middle East house. Midday, Jesus is speaking and you're straining to hear him because there are crowds outside who haven't been able to get in and they are jostling and slightly noisy. There's a fair amount of pushing. And then suddenly there is noises on the roof. And then dust begins to fall down from the roof. And then some plaster. And eventually, to everyone's astonishment, and Jesus can't keep speaking at this point, there is a head that sticks itself through the roof. A few more beams moved out of the side. More dust and plaster falls down. And eventually, there is a mat being lowered down with a man on it. And you finally realize this man is paralyzed. You know him. He's been paralyzed in the village. You know he cannot walk. He may not even have been able to sit up. His whole life has been dependent on others to provide for him, to dress him, to feed him, to clothe him. Paralysis is a loud shout against all that a healthy human body should be able to do. And it is very, very hard for those who are paralyzed. And for those looking after them. No wheelchairs back then. Utterly reliant on others. The room goes quiet. Everyone knows Jesus' reputation. He has been healing all kinds of diseases and driving out demons all over the area. That's mostly why people have come to see him. Verse 5. One of the most surprising statements in the account of Jesus' life so far. When Jesus saw their faith, that is probably the faith of the friends who brought this man to Jesus and made all the effort of getting him down through the roof. When he saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Think back to the broken relationship with a friend that I started with. What you desperately want from them is their forgiveness. But just imagine things are different. What if you are blind to the hurt that you've caused them and you can't understand why they aren't speaking to you? It's making you angry. You consider yourself innocent and you feel that they're at fault. How would you react when they knock at your door and say, "Look, I forgive you for what you've done"? You'd shout at them, "I don't want your forgiveness. I want you to apologize to me." Shocking. But that is how most people treat God. They hate the idea that they've done anything wrong, let alone anything that needs forgiveness from God, if he exists. And they just get angry when someone says that God forgives them or is offering them forgiveness. What for? Who do you think you are telling me that I need forgiveness? You can take your religious gumph and chuck it. I'm fine. And that may have been one of the thoughts that crossed the paralyzed man's mind as Jesus told him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What? Isn't it obvious? I haven't been brought to you for sin. It's my legs. I want to walk. I'm paralyzed. That's my biggest problem. There'll be people here thinking along similar lines this morning. I didn't come here to think about forgiveness. I came because my marriage is in a mess. I'm anxious about COVID, about war in Europe. I'm sick. I'm starving. I've got no friends. I want some of that. I don't need fixing or forgiveness. Sorry, I don't need forgiveness. I need fixing. I've not done anything wrong. I'm just in a mess. I need a bit of help. And Jesus says, I'm offering you forgiveness. Most USB sticks, have I got it with me? Can hold several hundred megabytes. I've got a solid state drive that can take a terabyte, which I thought, I don't know what it was, I looked it up. That is a trillion bytes. Imagine a drive, it doesn't have to be very big these days, that could hold a whole record of your whole life. Everything that you have ever said, thought, or done. In color, not just the pictures, but the audio. And this drive has got something else that nothing else, at the moment I know, can do. It has got your thoughts on it. Transcribed. It's got all your successes and joys, but it's got everything else. And it can be rewound and replayed. Not a single minute missed. A record of everything you've ever said, thought, and done. Would yours be a clean record? Well, no. And nor would mine. Well, that is the record Jesus has of each and every one of our lives. And that paralyzed man's life too. So when he looks at that man, that record is the most serious problem that man has. And when he says, your sins are forgiven, it is as though he's taking that tarnished mega drive and running a complete wipe over the whole thing. Every wrong, hurtful, cruel, selfish, or mean thing anyone's ever done, that man has ever done. Every way in which we've lived in God's world our own way is dealt with by Jesus' forgiveness. That is the man's greatest need being dealt with in an instant. But the crowds pick up on a problem with this. The ones we are told about are the religious crowd. The passage calls them the teachers of the law. And we're told that they are thinking, in verse 6, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And they're at least right, in part. Jesus is claiming to be able to do something that only God can do. They can see he's claiming to have the authority to forgive sins. Can you see where they're wrong, though? They think it's blasphemy. That is a mere man claiming to be God, and it would be blasphemy if Jesus was a mere man. Radio 1 used to have a slot where the DJ would read out awful stories of people things people had done in the past, and they all ended by asking the DJ, Simon Mayo, please can I be forgiven? Who remembers that? I don't listen to Radio 1 anymore. I can't believe that would ever exist in Radio 1 anymore. But here's one. Dear Simon, I hope you can forgive me. My confession goes back to a festive season of my youth. We didn't get our usual Christmas present from Uncle Eric and Auntie Sheila in Australia, but then this mysterious pot of exotic smelling herbs and spices arrived from Australia. Mum put them in the Christmas pudding, and it tasted great. We ate half and kept the rest in the fridge. A week later, we heard from Auntie Sheila that Uncle Eric had died, and had we received his ashes to be buried in Britain? Fortunately, our father is a minister, so we were able to do a little funeral service for the remainder of the pudding. Or should that be the remainder of Uncle Eric? We're truly sorry. We wouldn't have eaten Uncle Eric if we'd known. Can we be forgiven? The Wilkinsons. Most of the stories are just as bad. But there's something very, very wrong with all of them. They're asking the wrong person to forgive them. The Wilkinsons should have been writing to Auntie Sheila in Australia, not the Radio 1 DJ. The person who has been offended is the only one who has the right to offer forgiveness. No one else. We know that's true today, and the religious crowd listening to Jesus knew it was true back then. We sin in lots of different ways. People get hurt when we do it, but in actual fact, the real offense is against the God who made them and gives us the boundaries for the way we are to live in this world. He is our judge. He is the one who needs to forgive us and deal with the penalty we deserve. Only God can forgive sin. That's why they're thinking to themselves, who does this guy think he is? Verse 8, Jesus knows what they are thinking. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Son of Man is a term he used for himself. It reflects Daniel 7, if you want to look that up after this. A prophecy of God's anointed ruler, the Son of Man. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. He's got to admit, it's brilliant. People are marveling at what they are seeing. And two stunning things are happening at the same time. The paralyzed man has got his greatest need met, and the clever religious guys have been completely outmaneuvered. But actually, the two amazing things that Jesus offers, forgiveness of sins or healing, are things that only God can do. The problem is that the more important one is that one that you can't see whether it's happened or not. At least not in the moment. Over time, a forgiven person's life will be a changed life, no longer living for themselves but for God, seeking to love and honor him, know his word, and reflect that in the way they live towards others. Habits will change if you've been forgiven. If they don't, it's a sign you haven't been forgiven. But you can't see from the outside whether a person's sins have been forgiven in that moment. You can see if a person who was paralyzed has been healed. How? Well, they'll get up, take their mat and walk home. And so that's exactly what happened. Verse 10, I'll read them again. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Can you imagine the joy on the man's face as he finds his withered limbs suddenly being able to carry his weight? That is miraculous, isn't it? If you've had an injured leg for a few weeks, it cannot carry your weight, not for months of physiotherapy. But he immediately gets up and walks out. It's a huge moment. Jesus has healed the man to prove the point. The religious guys cannot deny what they are seeing. It is a miracle, the sort of thing that only God can command, and so they and everyone else listening, and we today, have to take seriously this claim. The claim that Jesus is the one who can deal with the world's greatest need. Someone who can forgive a person their sin, wiping their hard drive clean of all guilt. I want you to imagine we could get a Zoom link with the paralyzed man in heaven today. Nearly 2,000 years on from the day he got up, took his mat and walked, and we got to ask him a couple of questions. So, Can you tell us how you were feeling in the moment? What were you expecting and what difference did it make? Well, it was embarrassing to start with. We smashed that guy's roof in and there must have been over 100 people watching as I came down through the hole. And I was scared as well. I really thought at one point they were going to drop me on my head. But face to face with Jesus, everything changed. What do you mean? Well, being able to walk for the rest of my life on earth was good. I lived till 68. It was actually, though, his first words to me that changed my life and that were far more important than walking. Being forgiven my sin has meant for the nearly 2,000 years so far, I have been with Jesus. And this perfect friendship with him is now secure for eternity. And eternity is just getting started. Is there anything else you'd like to say to us while we've got you on the line? And there's a pause, and perhaps he would say, if any of you, paralyzed or not, healthy or not, happy, wealthy, or none of those things, have still not grasped what you need more than anything else, then please wise up. Your current circumstances may be hard or not, but when you stand before God, only forgiveness from him can change eternity. If you ever sense that Jesus' forgiveness is being offered to you, then will you grab it while you still can? Don't wait. I was brought to Jesus that day, and actually, thinking bad on it, it was because I was paralyzed that I got to meet Jesus. I thank God for my paralysis. And there will be some here who can point to sickness and suffering and say, they have brought me closer to Jesus. Whatever it is that has got you to Jesus, parents, friends, circumstances, listen to him. Accept what he came to bring you. It's a free gift that cost you his life. Don't miss it. Okay, thank you very much. Goodbye. So where does that leave us this morning? Perhaps you're someone here looking in for the first time. You had no idea who this person Jesus was claiming to be, and it's all a bit mind-blowing. Mark's gospel is whetting your appetite. We just read 12 verses from this account. Here's a copy of Mark's gospel with the places for you to write notes on the other side. I'd love to give this to you if you've not got a current, easy-to-read, modern version of Mark's gospel. Please come and get one. If you've never realized you needed forgiveness from God, then I hope that this talk has been like a doctor's checkup. You've heard that there is a serious problem, but the doctor's not left you hopeless. He's told you there is a solution. You now need to take a decision whether to take the medicine or not. To start now or risk putting it off. To think, I'll come back to some medicine later. I'll be fine. Please at least talk to someone about taking a next step. If you've been a Christian for a while, then what difference will the start of Mark chapter 2 make to your life? Great to think about that. It could be that seeing forgiveness as the greatest need you had and people still have, well, what difference is that going to make to your use of time and money in the week ahead? In the friendships you make, in the way you spend your holidays, free time. Perhaps try and imagine yourself looking back from heaven and being able to say that what I did with those years, the money I made, it counted for eternity. The world has lots of needy people. The situation in the Ukraine has the headlines at the moment. It is awful. It's right that we pray about it. Perhaps there's things that we can do to give aid and help individuals. But there is a need that the whole world has in common. What would you do this week? What about the conversations you have, the people you love and serve? Could your life and your words help point people to the one who came to offer forgiveness for sin? And by his death and resurrection, accomplish it. So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up And he did. That is a story worth telling. Even that line, when somebody says, what did you do this weekend? Well, I heard about this. And see where the conversation goes. Let me pray for us, and then I'll take some questions. Heavenly Father, for many of us who have had our eyes opened and hearts softened to respond to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the undeserved kindness of him coming to us when we'd done nothing to deserve it and offering the forgiveness that changes everything, we praise you and thank you. May our lives be marked by that kind of gratitude that drives us to offer this gift to others. Help us not to keep it to ourselves. And help us to live in such a way that by our lives and the things we say and do and the money we spend and the places we go, people will want to know, what is it that makes you distinct? Please may the evidence be clear that it is Jesus and his forgiveness. That is the answer. And we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So, were we going to have questions straight away or a song?
We could do the questions straight away and then sing.
So our pattern, as per normal, if you're not familiar, is if there's things that have occurred to you from that passage or anything around it or something I've said and you'd like to ask a question or say something by way of application that'll be helpful for everyone that I've missed, please do. This is a chance for us. Aviva. Let me try and say that back for those on Zoom. Aviva said, I'd always assumed that the man in this parable was paralyzed because of his sin. Or that the man before, the leper, had leprosy because of something he'd done. And that there is a tie between the disease the person is suffering and the sin that brought it on them. I want to say there is very rarely in Scripture is there a direct tie between a person's sin and their suffering. I mean, Miriam, when she confronted Moses, wrongly, was given leprosy. And there is a direct line between those two. But it's very rare that that's the case. And actually, Jesus answered when they asked him a direct question, what about those people who died under that tower when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they more sinful than everyone else? And Jesus said, no. Do not draw a line between sickness and sin in that way, directly. What he then said is, repent. So his word to everybody was repent. And the reason I think he said that is that there is a general line in all the world's sickness that draws back to all the world's sin. We live in a broken world, which is full of suffering and has got despots who want to invade foreign nations, and it's got husbands who abuse their wives, and it's got any range of, you can list them, sin going on in the world that has been brought about by our rejection of God. We face the consequences of our rejection of God in a broken world. So there is a general line, but we mustn't make it specific, and that would heap a huge load of burden on someone's shoulders that is not meant to go that way. Instead, hear the big warning that actually our rejection of God is where we need healing most, and that comes when he forgives us. And that's exciting to see in this passage. Thank you. Great. Yes, at the back. I'm not sure I understand verse 9. Why don't I read it, then you ask your question. Verse 9. Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk?
Yes, I sort of felt it was supposed to be a question, but I don't know the answer to that. I wasn't quite sure why.
Okay, well, I think, and this is a suggestion, because there are people who come to different conclusions about quite what it meant. Actually, the punchline is very clear. But I think it's as simple as I mentioned in the sermon. It's easy to say your sins are forgiven and nobody to have any way of seeing whether you've had the power to do that or not. It's much harder to say, get up and walk, because right in front of your eyes, you're being seen for whether you can do it or not. But he then does both. So that you may know I've got the power to do one, I'm going to do the other. Just imagine if he'd flipped it round. If the very first thing he'd said to that man is, get up and walk. Everybody would have gone, wow. And then he said, I forgive you your sins. People have gone, well, yes, lots of people are forgiving sins all the time. It doesn't really matter, and who cares about that? But he did it the other way round on purpose to make a very clear point. I think that's the answer, Rachel. Yes, Katrina. So verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. So I'm quite struck, I think this is what you said, by the faith of others actually bringing about the forgiveness of a friend. Can we draw lines like that now? Could it be by our faith we could have Jesus forgive a loved one or a child that we care for? I don't think that's the line being drawn here. I think what goes on, I mean, it is remarkable. They have gone beyond the limits to get their friend to Jesus. And I think in the context of everything that's happened so far, he's healed many diseases, he's driven out many demons. They are thinking, this friend we really care about. And who hasn't got someone who's got a paralysis or an injury or something who they really care about and would do anything they could to get them somewhere to get help? If you heard that there was a guy on the other side of the world who had the cure for your child's most serious injury or lack, you would pay and you'd get there and you would do anything because you love them. I think Jesus is saying to these guys, I've seen how much you love this man and I've seen how much you believe that I have the power to help him. I'm going to do for him even more than you asked. I'm going to provide him with the thing he needs most. Son, your sins are forgiven. And to prove that I can do that, get up and walk. It's an extraordinary moment, but it's a moment in time for that point to talk about Jesus. This is a sign about him, as opposed to a sign about how we can, I don't know, pull a handle and get forgiveness. I don't think that's the way it works. But great question, and good to talk about in the study. I think we need to wrap up. We've got one on Zoom. Well, in a similar way, okay, will Jesus forgive people who don't ask him forgiveness? It looks like this man didn't ask, and he got forgiven. Fair question. But in a similar way to answer the previous question, this isn't paradigmatic for all forgiveness. It is there as a story to tell us who Jesus is and what he has the power to do. Certainly nobody's aware of the means that forgiveness happens at this point. Jesus has got to go to the cross to pay the penalty for sin. And that is where the power and the penalty and the punishment for sin are dealt with, but it's a long way off. So there's a lot not happening at this stage in the gospel. But the fact that he has the authority to do it should drive us to be saying, please forgive me. Why would anyone, having heard this, not ask for forgiveness. It's beyond me. Welcome back, youngsters. Great question. I probably haven't answered that as well as I could. We'll come back to more, and I'll hand back to Anne. Thank you, and we'll sing our last song.